August 1940, Martin Sheen, star of Hot Shots Part 2, was born in Dayton, Ohio. The adventure film Boomtown, starring Clark Gable, Spencer Tracy, Claudette Colbert, and Hedy Lamarr, premiered at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. And Superman fought a dog with the most interesting name, in the next issue of Action Comics.
Greetings and salutations, super friends, and welcome to another thrilling episode of Reaction Comics, where today we're talking about Action Comics number 27 from August 1940. On the cover of this issue, we see something that has absolutely nothing to do with the story. It appears that Superman, and I'm going to guess Lois, is at a circus, and a lion must have gotten loose, or Superman threw the lion's cage and around, and it got loose, his fault. But basically, what I'm seeing on this cover is Superman holding a lion up with one arm, and he looks like he's about to strike with the other arm. Now, I don't know if he's going to slap the lion across the face, if he's going to punch it, but his hand is kind of pointed. Like, his fingers are all extended, so it almost makes me think he's going to do a Dalton from Roadhouse kind of move where he takes his hand and he just rips out the lion's throat. I'm going to guess that's not the case, but he looks like he's ready for some major destruction. So we'll see. Actually, we won't see, because, again, this has nothing at all to do with the story in here, but it's got Superman on a cover and he's holding a lion up. So it's pretty exciting, except, of course, when you buy the magazine and realize, what am I looking at? Because you're not looking at anything that you're going to see in Action Comics number 27. So let's jump right into what you do see. We see Superman in the first panel. Once again, you know, last time I think we saw Superman's first panel, he wasn't even in it, and it was actually feeding into the story. But this is another one where it just kind of talks, it gives you a quick summary of who Superman is. It says, heartless criminals exploit the helpless and unfortunate. Clark Kent and his dual self-dynamic Superman battle side by side with pretty Lois Lane, courageous girl reporter, to stamp out the evil geniuses of crime and corruption. So they're giving Lois a little credit here. But in the drawing, we just see Superman jumping over, like, a bridge fell out, and he's taking a bus. Now, it kind of almost looks like a limousine bus, so maybe it's a bachelor party, and he's carrying it. He's jumping over the bridge, and he's holding one hand. For some reason, he's using one hand. He's getting cocky. He obviously can do it. It's fine. We didn't see any reports later of people perishing from a, a night of debauchery in a bus. But again, this has nothing to do with the story we're about to see. Our story opens up with Clark Kent. He's appears to be outside a door. He's going to ring a buzzer. As he says, I can still hardly believe it. Lois has actually consented to go out on a date with me tonight. So I guess he's picking up Lois Lane. Seems to be out of nowhere. Maybe because, remember the last time, he kind of stood up for some things. And Lois was like, ooh, that's not like the Clark I know. But inside, he sees Lois on the phone. So Lois lets him in and goes back to finishing a phone conversation, which is rude. I mean, you'd be like, sorry, I have someone here. I have to go. But I guess she's on there making some sort of donation to someone. She says, a $3 donation to the Brentwood Rehabilitation Home? I'd be only too delighted to contribute. And while she's on the phone, Clark is just talking to her. The Brentwood home, huh? And they underline Brentwood home like it's a title. I've heard unsavory rumors about that supposedly benevolent place.
And the next panel looks like Lois is hanging up her phone and says, you have, huh? And would you mind repeating them to me?
Clark says, not at all. They're supposed to be going on a date. This is what they're talking about? Not at all. Briefly, it's whispered that the home is being run by a hypocritical couple whose sole interest is not in their young charges, but in inflating their bank account.
So they jump right in the car. The next panel, they're in the car driving along. Clark has a convertible, which is pretty nice. And she says, I'm positive you're wrong. And to prove it, we'll visit the home and investigate. Clark says, okay, but here go my expectations of a quiet, delightful evening alone with you. So the date now turns into some sort of investigation. They're going to go to this home at night and see what's going on. So they reach the destination. And Lois says, get ready to eat your words, my fine friend. I don't know about that, Lois. Clark says, not until I'm completely convinced that this home for wayward youth is on the up and up.
How many homes for wayward youth can we have in Action Comics? I feel like this is the third one that we've already talked about. We had that rich guy whose dad died. He opened up one for himself. There was another one. I remember there was another one that that was either being, misused or something. But there's a lot of wayward youth in Metropolis in the 40s.
So they get inside and we meet this couple. And they introduce themselves to this couple. They say, we're Daily Planet reporters. Come to give your private establishment a write-up. And the man's like, my wife and I are always pleased to have visitors look the place over. But they both kind of have this weird scowl on their face. And Clark says, I will say this is a nice lounge room.
I planned it myself, said the woman. Come, we'll show you around.
They go into one of the rooms. It's a typical room, a typical model bedroom, radio, very cleanly.
Cleanly.
All the best conveniences.
Like it, the guy says, and he seems to have his arm around Lois, which is a little weird.
She says, neat, very neat. Then they go to another room, and it's the workshop. And the man says, our workshop, where our young charges keep themselves busily and constructively occupied.
And the woman, now with her arms crossed, she looks very angry, says, Mr. Tweed quite firmly believes that useful labor can rehabilitate incorrigibles.
And Lois is like, what do you say to that, Mr. Clark Kent?
Clark says, sounds like sense. Has his hands in his pocket. He doesn't seem to me that Clark is fully on board yet.
So the man says, now because this is a private institution, we of course have to rely upon contributions from the public to enable us to carry on our great work.
Lois says, I understand. Here's a $10 bill.
Oh, thank you, the woman says. She puts down three, said she's going to give three. Now she's 10. And then she puts Clark on the spot. Says, Clark, don't you think you too ought to contribute to this worthy cause?
Clark says, $10. He gives over $10 himself. You're both very kind. We look forward to seeing that write-up in the Planet.
But again, these guys, they almost look like brother and sister. Their face is so similar. I don't know. I don't trust them. So the next panel, we see them leaving this place. This place has a giant wall, and it looks like a giant steel door to get into the place.
And then Lois says to Clark, well, still skeptical?
Clark says, it begins to look like you may be...
Wait, what's that?
And in the next panel, there's this kid jumping over the wall going, wait for me, please. Jumps over the wall. And he is wearing, like, shorts. Or they call those knickers, maybe? And, like, tall socks? Or they're shorts, and it's just badly drawn, colored. He's got shoes. He's got a red sweater on, and he's jumping over the wall. And they're like, what's going on? What?
Clark says, what are the home's charges?
Good heavens, your hands are bleeding, son. How did it happen? Who are you? Lois said.
He says, I'm Davy Merrill, but please don't let Mr. Tweed know what I've done.
His hands are all bleeding. I wonder why they're bleeding.
How'd I cut my hands? Oh, he's going to tell us.
By climbing the walls. Sharp glass is embedded on the top.
Oh, my God.
But I just had to climb over. Please give me something to eat. I'm starving. Starving, huh? Come with us, and we'll have to do something about those mutilated hands, says Lois. So they go to the drugstore, and I guess they're having, I don't know, iodine or medicine or something put on his hands. He's like, ouch, that hurts. Be brave, Davy, says Clark. This is terrible. If what this boy says is true, Lois, I think, is starting to realize maybe this place isn't so great. So they go bring him to a diner to get some food. And Clark's like, look at him gobble that food. He is desperately hungry. And Lois responds, and Mrs. Tweed said the boys were served only the best foods and generous portions at that. Davy's like, I gotta get back to the house now. Wait, you're gonna go back, Davy? What the hell? He says, if Mr. Tweed ever finds out I skipped out of the place, he'll skin me alive. Don't go, Davy, and don't be afraid. Lois is like, don't go back. And Clark says, first, tell us about yourself and conditions at the home. So Clark doesn't care if he goes back. He just wants the story. He says, the Tweeds are regular slave drivers. They make us kids labor from dawn to near midnight. And if we dare to raise a kick, we get beaten and worse. What, like killed? Sometimes at night, big trucks drive off with the things we make, probably to sell in another state. I thought they were going to say big trucks drive off with some of the boys and they never come back. So I guess they're making stuff to be sold. You were right, Clark, and I apologize. We're going back to that evil old place and rip the lid off. All right, Lois. Lois is on board. That's good. Clark says, hadn't we better just notify the proper authorities and leave it in their hands? Oh, Clark, you coward. Lois actually is like, no, I won't give the Tweeds a chance to cover up. I'm going to go back to that home now with Davy in search of incriminating evidence. If you're afraid, well, then goodbye. And Clark says, I think it might be a good idea if I went direct to the planet and wrote this up. So good luck. So Clark, I mean, let's face it. He's not actually doing this because we know who Clark really is. But he is putting up the facade of a coward so much that he's telling Lois and Davy, you good luck going back to that place with the glass on the walls. I'm going to go punch up the old article. So toodles, and he heads off. So they go back to the place. Oh, my goodness. And with great difficulty, Lois and Davy re-enter the Brentwood Homes grounds. But as they near the forbidding edifice's entrance, a watchdog, Lois says. And this dog looks like a pit bull. And I got to be honest, I didn't even know there were pit bulls in 1940. But this is not just any watchdog. Davy says, it's Black Satan. I'm sorry, I can't even say it without laughing. It's Black Satan. Lois says, Black Satan? Now they're running. Davy's in the front. Lois is like, Black Satan. And Black Satan is chasing them. And like, he is on Lois's tail. Davy says, I should have warned you. They leave him loose so we won't dare leave the house. If he catches us, we're goners. Yeah, Davy, maybe that is a detail you should have told Lois about before jumping over the fence again. They're like, hurry, hurry. If I could only find that skeleton key. Now, why does Lois have a skeleton key? I feel like that was never mentioned before. She seems to have a skeleton key that can get into anything. And as Davy is saying, hurry, hurry, and Lois is looking for this key, this dog is leaping straight at them. I mean, he is like a foot away from Davy. He will grab this child and maul him and destroy him. And nope, she has the key in the next panel. If this fails to work, she puts the key in, and as the lock clicks, Lois can scarcely restrain a cheer. She and the boy leap through the doorway. Whew, he'd have us in another second. Slam the door. Just in time, the next panel, they slam the door. I didn't notice this when I first looked at this article. We see two paws on the window of the door panel. Look like they're sliding down, like, I almost got you guys. Because that's how the dog Black Satan talks. No, another almost kill for Black Satan. Upstairs, we see, I gotta be honest, I thought it was the man, because I swear there's a full mustache. But it is the woman. I mean, and this woman has quite a brow on her. Because there's a hairnet and, you know, she's in a nightgown. I could tell it's a woman. But she heard what's going on. And she says, Black Satan barking? There's something wrong. The two intruders tiptoe through the darkened home. We have Davy and Lois there. And Davy is showing Lois where they sleep. These little bunks. He's like, see, this is where we really sleep. Lois says, crammed together like cattle. You can retire, Davy, while I continue to look for evidence. So they know they're crammed in like cattle. They know they're not fed very well. They know that they guard this this place with a vicious dog named Black Satan. And they know they put glass over the walls so the children don't escape. And Lois's first thought is to bring this child back to the home and say, you go to bed. I'm going to go look around. So just go back to bed. Like, what? Lois? And meanwhile, Superman should have just went in there, took all the kids out. But instead, he's going back to write the article. I mean, come on, Clark. So Lois is going through some paperwork. She's like, the Tweeds must terrify their young charges so thoroughly that they don't even talk even after they leave the home. So I guess that closes that loophole out about, I guess, the kids who get out, if they get out. Uh-oh, Dave is in trouble. Mrs. Tweed! Davy Merrill, what are you doing out of bed and fully clad? Because he's all dressed up. I ain't done nothing. Tell me what you've been up to, you little rodent, or I'll... And she starts shaking Davy. Your hands, lacerated. You've been over the wall, against our orders. You'll pay for this. Don't punish me. I won't do it again. I won't. Now, because of all this noise, Mr. Tweed comes down. And she tells him, this young scalawag left the grounds without permission and tried to sneak back. And I would have been like, why would he do that? So Mr. Tweed grabs little Davy by the arm. He's like, come with me, you whelp. And he's like, don't hurt me. Ouch, my arm. Down the stairs. No, don't. He throws him in the basement, I guess. Hey, there's a lot more room down there. Oh, he locked him in like with a padlock. And stay in there. It's so small, I can hardly stand. Now, the room I saw him thrown into. Oh, I see. I'm wrong. He threw him down the stairs, followed him down the stairs, then threw him in this little cage where he can hardly stand. Mr. Tweed says, a night in those cramped quarters will cure you of your rebellious notions. He's pumping his fist as he says this. You've long hours of regret ahead of you. Ponder that, you little fool. And meanwhile, Lois' investigation has led her up into a room which contains long rows of telephones. She says, dozens of charity solicitors. And from these notes, I can see that each telephone solicitor receives 50% of whatever donation she secures. So I guess she already assumes it's a woman on the phone every time. What a foul racket. It will be a pleasure to expose it. So these people take donations and then the people doing the donations get half? That seems like a great job. I would do that. My goodness. So she keeps going through some records. She says, a record of the vast profits the Tweeds make from the charges sweatshop labor. This is the type of concrete evidence that will assure conviction. I have to say, if you're going to be running an illegal sweatshop for children, the best thing to do is keep copious records of everything you do. So that when you are busted, you can be busted to the full capacity of the indiscretions you provided, or that you did, I guess. Anyway, suddenly the Tweeds enter the room and intrude her, seize her. The guy says seize her, but he grabs her by the face. I mean, he's being rough with her. And she's like, what? He says, why is that Garrow Porter? Let go of me, I tell you. And the woman's like, you prying busybody. Mr. Tweed says, we can't let her go. She knows too much. I'm like, are they going to kill her? Oh my goodness. But what can we do with her? Mrs. Tweed says, the cage in the cellar. Toss her into it. We can decide what to do with her later. And Lois says, Clark Kent knows I'm here. If anything happens to me, he'll know who to pin the blame on. Well, she is right about that. So journeying to the cellar, the couple lock Lois within a barred cage. They have multiple cages down there, which a little weird. I guess that somehow passed insurance inspection. Strange. They gag her, and he says, this gag will keep you quiet in case you get any notions about screaming. And Mrs. Tweed says, if you consent to keep what you've learned a secret,
we may let you go. Think it over. I would have been like, you know what? I thought it over. I'll keep it a secret. Can I go now? And that would have been the, like, let me go, please. Now, Lois, while she's in the cage, she starts hearing a moan coming from the locker. I know that because she says, a moan coming from the locker, or she thinks it. And you just hear, you see, oh, oh, and you know it's little Davy. Rubbing her face against the iron bars, Lois forces off the gag. Oh, that's smart. She says, that's better. Who is it? It's me, Davy. Is that you, Miss Lane? Why the hell did you bring me back to this effing school? He didn't say that. He says, is that you, Miss Lane? Please let me out. I'm so cramped, and I can't stand the pain any longer. Lois is like, I'm sorry, I can't help you, Davy. You see, I'm a prisoner myself. Please forgive me for getting you into this mess. And Davy says, forgive me for complaining. It's not your fault. Yes, it is. And I'll manage to stand this somehow. Davy is like really able to put up with a lot of crap. Lois is like, what a fool I've been. If I had only listened to Clark, I thought he was a coward for insisting we let the police handle this. But I see now he knew what was best. I must have been mad to barge into a setup like this alone. Yes, Lois, you were. That is 100% correct. But speaking of Clark, or should I say Superman? Unknown to Lois, help is on its way. Clark has changed into his Superman costume and streaks toward the home. Now Clark's running along, and what does he do when he runs? He talks to himself. He says, 20-1 Lois is in a tough jam right now. That gal's a natural for getting involved in mischief. But that's just what I like about her. Ooh, ooh, if this was a TV sitcom, that's when the studio audience would go, ooh. So Clark's running along, but he's thinking about Lois and thinking about just what he likes about her. The next panel shows Clark jumping over that wall with the glass. It says, a lithe leap carries the man of tomorrow over the wall. There are those broken bits of glass Davy spoke of. It will be a pleasure to attend to the fiends responsible for this. And of course, who is the first person or the first fiend he runs into? But Black Satan. As Superman creeps cautiously towards the home, Black Satan silently creeps up from behind and crouches. Uh-oh, Superman, there's a killer dog behind you. Oh my goodness, the next panel is frightening. Suddenly, a streak of black fury lands upon the man of tomorrow's back. What? And you see this dog leaping on, like, you see the lines of movement, and there's like a wall. There's this, like, street light in the background. You know it's dark. And Superman is about to get knocked over by this giant dog we all know as Black Satan. It is scary. But the next panel, we see ferociously the hound bites at Superman, but to its puzzlement, its sharp fangs leave no impression upon the Man of Steel's super skin. And Superman says, now, don't get discouraged. And there's a question mark over the dog's head, like he's almost thinking, roar! It must be like a chew toy almost for him. So abruptly, oh boy, Superman goes up into the sky. It says, hang on, yipe. So now this dog that was trained, you know, I don't blame the dog, trained to be a devil, is being pulled into the sky by Superman. Oh my God, is he going to drop him to his death? Oh, nope. Instead, he takes Black Satan and puts him on a treetop high above the ground. And he says, now stay put where you can't make a nuisance of yourself. And the dog looks frightened now. He's like curled up on this like branch. Hopefully Black Satan won't move and later Superman will bring him to the pound and he'll be rehabilitated. But again, this is 1940. I'm assuming the dog fell, hit the glass on the wall on the way down and succumbed to his injuries. Next panel, we see Superman peeking in to the basement where Lois is. Oh boy, he's being a little cocky too. So he opens his little basement window and Lois says, Superman. And Superman just goes, Lois Lane. And in a most unenviable fix, well, what do you know? Meanwhile, Davy's like suffering in this little cramped cage. So he comes into the basement and says, don't know if I should free you. Leaving you to this predicament might force a little sense into your head. Ooh, sexist bastard. She says, "Stop clowning and get me out of here." "Odd, but I can't resist a beautiful lady's pleas." And he pulls the bars across. And she's like, "Whoo, what marvelous strength." A young boy named Davy is imprisoned in that locker over there. How about further demonstration? She doesn't give a shit about Davy. Oh, excuse my language. She doesn't care about Davy getting free. She just wants to see Superman flex those marvelous muscles. And he says, okay, Davy, you can step out now. And he pulls the door right off the cage. Oh, my God, there was a tiny little box he was in. Davy's like, "Gee, it's Superman." Emerging from the home with the two freed captives, Superman sets them down at the gate. Now, oh, so Superman got them out right away. That's good. Hopefully, Black Satan doesn't jump out of the tree and attack them. Lois says, "What now?" And Superman just looks at her and says, "Just watch." As he turns around, with a terrifying yank, he pulls down the massive gates. He says, "There, that makes this place look less like a prison now." And Davy's like, "Gee." And Lois is like, "That goes for me too." She's like, "Hamada, hamada, hamada." And then Clark says, "You two, go to the Daily Planet and get your story into print. I'm returning to the home to settle things with the Tweeds." And Lois says, "Please, let me go with you." "What? Lois, my goodness gracious, you just got out of there. You were held captive. You put Davy in danger. Every kid in there now is in danger. Superman gets you out, gets you to safety, tells you get back to settle things with, get back and start writing the article. And the first thing is, no, I want to go with you. And what about the friggin' boy? My God, Lois. He says, "Off with you, or I'll put you back into that cage and bend the bars into shape again." Oh, wow, he means business. And Lois says, "I can take a hint." Davy's looking like, "What the hell, Lois?" He's got this look of, like, stupidity on his face. So Clark goes back to the basement, pops open the door and says, "You can drop that poker, Tweed, while I take a poke at you." "Who?" Tweed is burning. Maybe he's burning paperwork. That's what it looks like. So Superman jumps into the basement and he says, "What does this intrusion mean?" says Tweed. And Superman says, "It means that someone is finally going to make you suffer for the heartlessness and grafting." And this guy has this very hot poker. He says, "Threaten me? Will you? Well, take that." And he goes to swing at Superman. And Superman says, "Want me to take that away? Thanks." He just grabs the guy by the wrist, takes the poker away. No harm, no foul. And this thing is piping hot. And Superman just wants to show off now. He says, a tasty little snack. Biting off the tip of the red hot poker, Superman tastes it experimentally. What? Superman takes this hot poker and he wants to scare this guy so much that he takes this and he just bites off the bit of it that's like was in the fire. Why? Because, I don't know, experimentally? And I guess he's like, tasty little snack. I think he just wants this guy to die of a heart attack. He says, "Here, heat it up some more. I like meals hotter than that." And the guy's like, good grief. What kind of being are you? "Leave me alone, you monster." And I don't know what he's doing now. Is he grabbing the basement? He's grabbing something. A piece of wood? Is it like something supporting the basement? This is not good. I don't know. Clark says, "Wait, I haven't given you that thrashing I promised you." Uh-oh, I'd run, mister. Oh, but I guess this guy really is trying to cave in his basement. Because down upon Superman cascades the heavy lumber. One blow from Superman's powerful fist, though, sends the boards flying. But the interval enables Tweed to reach the stairs. This is like weirdly worded, the interval. Basically, because Tweed threw all that wood at Superman, it gave him enough time to reach the stairs. Superman says, "You call this hospitality?" As Superman reaches the top of the stairs with one leap, Tweed seizes a boiling kettle of water from the kitchen sink and upsets it. Upsets it, that's the word, upon the Man of Steel. He takes a giant kettle of boiling water and he throws it at Superman and says, "Scald blast you." Scald blast you. Not the best one-liner to think of, Mr. Tweed.
Uninjured, though, Superman advances into the barrage of knives. Now this dude's throwing knives at Superman. He says, not content with giving me a bath, you want to throw in some exercise, huh? Tweed's like, keep back, keep back. I see, like, it looks like a steak knife. I think like a giant, you know, meat cutting knife. I see a butcher's, like, one of those cleaves or whatever those things are called, those butcher knives. And they are, he's just tossing all this stuff at Superman. And me, obviously, it's not bothering the Man of Steel. And then, well, of course, what's the next thing? A gun. So Tweed snatches a gun from a drawer and fires. Tweed's like, I warned you. Boom, shoots him. And Superman puts his hands up and goes, yep, caught it. No problem. As Tweed fires again, Superman shoots the second bullet out of the air with the first he had caught. Oh, so, oh my goodness. He actually shoots the second bullet out of the air with the first one he caught. He says, ha, haven't lost those skills at shooting marbles. So Tweed shoots him, he shoots another bullet at him, and he takes his bullet and flicks it and hits the other bullet out of the air. That is awesome. Terrified at this astonishing demonstration of invulnerability, these words, man. Tweed springs through a door, slams it shut, and bolts it feverishly. It's like, I've got to escape. This must be a nightmare. A straight arm jab from the Man of Steel, and the door is flung off its hinges. He just takes this door and just smashes it. But he faces a new menace now. Now, I don't know what this guy's got. He's got some sort of lever. And he says, this will finish you. Oh, my God. He's got a giant anvil on a chain. I don't know why. I have no idea. And he swings it perfectly into Superman's face. This anvil smashes Superman right in the teeth. And what does he say? He says, thanks for picking my teeth. I'm really beginning to get annoyed with you. And now Tweed's like, if you don't keep back, I mean, Tweed, what? What could you possibly do now if you don't keep back? What? As Tweed pulls a switch, two great shears snap together and smash into fragments upon Superman's body. I don't know what the hell, does that mean like he tried two great shears snap together and smash into fragments? So he was trying to smash him with, I don't know, whatever two great shears are. Meanwhile, oh God, Lois, we're outside the Tweed's house again. Oh my goodness. And we see Lois talking to herself because that's how we know what's going on. She says, Davy will go directly to the planet, but I've got a hunch that Superman is going to town in there, and I wouldn't want to miss it for anything. What? What? You're not going there to help Superman. You're not going there. You're going there to basically gawk at him like some sort of voyeur. This is... You're better than this, Lois. She just wants to watch. I want to watch Superman kill people. It excites me. Jesus, Lois. And of course she goes into the building, which I'm sure is a really smart thing to do. Once again, using her skeleton key, Lois stealthily enters. No one's heard from Black Satan. He's up in the tree. He's not barking. He's probably, who knows, probably scared to death. I don't think we see him anymore in this story. And she says, if I can only get more of those crooked records. So she's still not giving up doing the work. So she's not just there to watch Clark destroy these two people. So she goes into a room. She's like, ooh, their bank book. What huge figures. And all earned from the labor of helpless children. Again, they're keeping wonderful, studious records of all their wrongdoings. Probably not the smartest thing to do. But even worse, Lois probably shouldn't have come back. Because in the background, we see Mrs. Tweed with a vase or a vase over her head, ready to swing. And she's thinking to herself, that reporter, how'd she get free? No kidding. And she smashes that vase over Lois's head. I mean, takes Miss Lane out. Meanwhile, downstairs, as Superman is about to seize Tweed, the grafter spills molten metal. Does he have like a smelting like factory? We have anvils. We have shears. We have hot pokers. Now he's got molten metal. So he starts spilling molten metal on the floor and lights smashed gas lines. He's thinking, that should stop you. Dude, that should stop everybody. That should be a massive, mass serial murder, suicide pact thing. I mean, this is
This is crazy. And Superman's like, this home is filled with sleeping children. I've got to prevent this fire from spreading. So, oh, Superman doesn't have his cool breath yet. So he beats the flames with his bare hands. He just starts swinging his hands so quickly back and forth that he puts the fire out. And then he crushes the severed pipeline together with his bare hands. That ought to do it. So, okay, I guess everyone's saved. The flames look humongous, but everyone's fine. Even Mr. Tweed was like amongst the flames, but somehow he got away. So now he reconnects with Mrs. Tweed, and they see Lois knocked out on the floor. And she says, I caught that girl sneaking about. And Mr. Tweed's like, never mind. Help me carry her into the workshop. Urgent. I mean, never mind. So it's pretty important because you're going to keep talking to her. It's one of those things where we don't have time for that they say in TV shows and movies. And of course, what do? They bring her into the workshop. And what's in the workshop but a spinning saw blade on a table. Classic villain. These people go from owning a home and exploiting children to various attempts at murder. Classic Superman. And so Superman comes into the workshop, sees Lois lying on the table, and Tweed says, don't move or I'll set the saw in motion, and the girl dies. And Superman says, you would think of such a cowardly way to protect your precious hide. As the Man of Steel stands apparently helpless to act, a smirk crosses Tweed's features. You see, your mighty muscles are helpless against the ingenuity of my mind. Draw back. Depart. I command you. But without even warning, Superman suddenly leaps forward and thrusts his hands between Lois's head and the buzzsaw. And the man says, I warned you, and he goes to flip the switch, and Superman says, and I heard you. As the deadly whirling buzzsaw comes into contact with the Man of Steel's hands, it bursts into bits, and we see blades, like pieces of blade, just flying everywhere. While Superman snaps Lois's bonds, Tweed flings the master switch, sending all the motors racing at top speed, and dashes from the room with his wife. Run for your life! All these motors, like, I'm surprised none of the saw blades, like, killed them. That would have been something. Unable to stand the terrific strain, the machinery wrenches loose and flies through the air in jagged fragments. Superman protects Lois with his body. He kind of climbs over her, and he says, I've got to stop this before one of the metal fragments hits Lois. Why are all these metal things in these people's basement? A workshop. I mean, this is quite a workshop. Superman places his finger within a light socket. Result, a blinding flash and a short circuit. So he puts all the electricity out by sticking his finger in a socket. She says, what happened? Superman says, never mind. Follow me if you want a good news story. Superman emerges into the hall, followed by Lois, and the Tweeds leap into an elevator with their records. They're getting away, but they won't get far. So they're trying to close the elevator door. Leaping forward, Superman rips open the elevator door and says, I get it. You're going to... Oh, I'm sorry. Lois says, I get it. You're going to... And Superman says, right. Seizing the cable, Superman pulls the elevator car back down to the floor. Like, he just grabs the elevator cable, whips it down. The people are in the cart, and he says to them, we meet again. He is filled with one-liners in this issue. And now it looks like the guy has a bunch of books. I guess that's all the records. Superman says, give me those. And Mr. Tweed says, blast you. It looks like he's about to swing a small axe at Superman. But I don't know what happens, because the next shot, the man just says, unharmed. Superman says, take these records and make a beeline for the planet. So she has to, I guess, take the records and run. Pushing the elevator car before him, Superman races to the side of the shaft. Third floor and still going up. So he's pushing the elevator car straight up and out and through the house. Crash! The elevator car emerges through the top of the home, just like Charlie Bucket and Willy Wonka. Across the sky streaks Superman, holding it overhead. And Tweed's like, put us down. And Superman says, don't like it, eh? I mean, Superman, you could drop them, but I'm sure they wouldn't like that as much as being held. As they ought before the police station, I guess that's the word, as they ought, A-U-G-H-T. Okay.
Superman points at the station and says to them, go in there and make a complete confession, or I'll give you another ride through the sky that will make the first one appear mild. And Mrs. Tweed just looks like, huh. And Mr. Tweed says, don't touch us. We'll do anything you say. Later on at the Daily Planet, Clark says to Lois, congratulations on your scoop, Lois. She says, not my scoop, Clark. After all, it was your suspicions that got us on the right trail. Clark interviews the new head of the Brentwood Rehabilitation Home. Rehabilitation. I can't say that word very good, can I? He says, thanks for pulling the wires that got me the position, Clark. The boys and I get along fine. They're happy at the new reforms. And Davy says, that's right, Mr. Kent. Our new superintendent is swell. We had turkey for lunch today. Clark says, this home was a good idea. It's too bad the Tweeds turned into a selfish racket. The end. So, what did we learn with this issue? I got to tell you, what we learned is Lois will put herself in danger just to watch Superman tear people apart. To me, that's the biggest thing. Superman, we didn't see any new powers. He didn't use any breath powers. He just was using his hands to put out a fire. And I mean, this wasn't a great issue. The best part of it to me was dealing with Black Satan. That was fun to see. And other than that, it was like, and seeing the kid jump over the fence and Lois just like relentlessly not wanting to believe that the place was bad and still not wanting to take the kid to safety and still not wanting to go back to the planet, just like putting herself in danger over and over again so that Superman had to save her. Even Superman was getting cocky. Like, some of his one-liners were good. But, you know, overall, the story was, I wouldn't say boring, but it was a little just kind of plain, milquetoast, nothing crazy. I mean, we've had doctors experimenting on people. We've had, super villains. We've even had a Luther. So this one here, at the end, they do end up giving the rehabilitation home to a new guy who looks pretty much like Joe Piscopo in Johnny Dangerously. He's like, my mother ran a rehabilitation home once. Boom. My brother got that joke. Hi, Sean. So I think that's it. I think we covered it. I think we nailed it. Issue number 27 of Action Comics. We killed it. So, folks, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. The website is fans.experts.com. The Facebook page is fans.experts. And on Instagram, you can find the show at Reaction Comics. I haven't updated in a while. I know. But I keep promising that I'll be back soon. So one of these days, I won't be lying. Until then, and until we meet again, I want to thank you once again for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So long, super friends. Bye. Goodbye, super friends.
Fans Not Experts.